From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of October 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And a bit later on in the program, we'll take up the agricultural cash grain markets with TGM's Matt Bennett. As we close out the program, Pete Levitt will be here to look at the weather forecast. And along the way, we'll hear more from Don Day, agricultural meteorologist, about his adventure with the Red Bull Stratus team. I played part of an interview for you on Tuesday. We have the rest of it today. Don Day, of course, was the balloon meteorologist that helped the Stratus team to get that capsule all the way up to 128,000 feet, or about 24 miles above the Earth, where Felix Baumgartner started his ascent to a record-breaking skydive. We'll talk with Don later in this edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on a Thursday afternoon. Futures were sharply higher nearby contract than the December wheat, up 12.25 cents on its settlement price, $8.68.5 to July at $8.47, up 10.25. And the hard red in Kansas City today. And we don't have a July contract, but we do have the nearby December at $8.94. Settlement price there up 11.25. If we get the July, we'll report it to you. December corn futures, $7.61 in Chicago, 15.5 cents higher. These are closes now and not settlement prices. March at 7.59, up 14.25. In the May at 7.53.5, up 14.25 as well. July corn, 7.46.5, up 14.75. And the September at $6.59, up 4.75 for the day. December contract of next year, $6.33.5, up 7 cents. November soybeans on a settlement price at $15.45.5, up 36.25 cents. January at $15.46.25, up 38. The March at $15.19.75, up 35.5 a bushel. And the May futures in the bean pit at $14.75.75 on a settlement, up 30.5 cents. July at $14.61.25, 26.5 higher. Next year's November, $13.53.25, up 16.75. Bean meal at $4.63.30, up $8.60. Bean oil at $52.28, up $1.25. Live cattle futures finished the December at $1.28 and a nickel. That's 45 cents higher. November feeders at $149.12.5, down 15, and the lean hogs at $78.85, down 32.5. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day, trading the November contract at $91.98 a barrel, down 14 cents. November RBOB, or wholesale for the gasoline price, at $2.75.2. That's 2.9 lower. Ethanol trading at $2.42.9, up 3.8. And the difference between the two is 32.3 cents, and it keeps shrinking. It's 6.6 cents tighter yesterday or today than it was yesterday. Natural gas at 3.57.4, that's 10.4 higher. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.18.7, just about unchanged on the afternoon. And gold futures at $1,743.70 an ounce, $8.30 lower for the day. The U.S. dollar at 79.37, that's up 0.35 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. A 20% chance of showers. It'll be mostly cloudy. A high of about 56 degrees. And then this evening, showers likely, mainly after 8 o'clock in the evening, cloudy, a low of 43, a south-southwest wind at 11 to 18, gusting all the way to 25. The chance of precipitation this evening set at 60%. And then tomorrow, showers likely, cloudy, a high near 51. Showers will continue into Friday night, mainly before 8 in the evening, mostly cloudy with a low of 41 and sunny skies on Saturday with a high of 59 degrees and a west wind at 7 to 9 miles an hour. Saturday night, clear in 44. Sunday on sunny, or sunny on Sunday, with a high of 70 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Pete Levitt.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's a Thursday afternoon. Let's check the futures markets. On the phone line here with us at the Closing Market Report today is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. He's filling in for Dan Zwicker, who's away for a really good reason this afternoon. How are you, Kurt?
Doing good. Thank you, Todd.
Well, Dan's marrying one off this weekend.
Wow, she was just a little girl just yesterday. Unbelievable.
Well, I know we both know the family and knew him, and we wish his family really all the best as his little girl starts a brand new life, I suppose.
Yeah, they're quite excited about it. It sounds like a fairly good match, and we wish them the best.
All right, so let's take a look at what happened in the marketplace today. I want to start not in Chicago, but can we start with the Google story, because that's kind of interesting. Did you see where R.R. Donnelley, the printing company, released the Google quarterly returns, or one of their returns early on their investments, and that got out before trading was halted, and it really dumped their stock by about 9%.
I was not aware of that one.
Oh, well, it's a good story. So just offhand, and we'll get back to the marketplace. But Google today, of course, at 4:30 is set to release its, I think, quarterly earnings stocks. I can't remember quite which one it was. But the R.R. Donnelley, who was the printing company, printed and released their quarterly earnings, and they were down substantially. So it was during trading hours, and they dropped that 9%, and they halted trade of Google stock, which really surprised me. We'll take that up maybe later. I just thought it was kind of interesting. So let's turn back to Chicago then and talk about things I know you watched all day long. Why was the soybean pit so much higher today?
Well, we saw renewed enthusiasm. Basically, took hold from yesterday. The funds backed off on the selling and became buyers. We're hearing reports that Asia is interested in some U.S. beans. We're waiting to see if we see some sales here come forward here as we go into the weekend. Also, too, with the weather forecast, harvest slowing down a little bit for the short term, and also, too, producers seem to be tight holders of beans. But beans have drifted down to some support levels. Technically, the technicians like what they're seeing on the charts here. We're in the time window for a 17 to 19-week cycle low. The momentum indicators are showing bearish trend divergences, indicating the bearish trend could hopefully run its course here and start to record some upward price swings. With today's higher close here, it suggests that the market can hold together here going into Friday, that the chart's going to post a weekly price reversal to the upside here, indicating that hopefully we found a fall low for the bulls here to feed on.
Do you think that this will represent an opportunity soon for producers to market some more soybeans?
Yeah, we've been kind of looking for a fall low in here with the idea that harvest wraps up, that we'll see a seasonal tendency for the market to gain some value going into year end. It's awful hard for a producer to sell grain that's just been put in the bin, or that's been minimum storage has been paid on it. So we're under the opinion that if demand can pick up in here and producers remain tight holders, it warrants some recovery here over the next month or so.
And for the corn market?
Corn received some spillover buying from the beans, but there is some talk that China is interested in importing corn and wheat both. Now, from the U.S., I don't believe so, but just ideas that they're going to need some world coarse grains set the stage that premium needed to be added back in to the marketplace. Also, too, we're seeing a situation where harvest is fairly well wrapped up in some areas here. And when you continue to look at that supply-demand balance sheet, not only here in the U.S., but worldwide, it still indicates that we're in a tight situation for the next 6 to 8 months.
You know, last week the United States imported some corn from Argentina. I don't know how important that is fundamentally, other than the fact that the trade really did not like it at all. Do you expect to see it again?
It's probably going to happen. That's the indicator that we're in a tight situation. They wouldn't be importing corn if it wasn't tight here. Also, too, you know, they're importing corn because it maybe pencils out a little bit better. But when you look at the total import number, the USDA has already addressed that on their supply-demand balance sheet. They raised corn imports, I believe, upwards of 25 million bushels. You're only talking about 75 million bushels being imported into the U.S. You know, if it was 250, 300 million bushels, that'd be a whole different story. But it's kind of a drop in the bucket, and it just indicates that longer term in here, there's concerns about getting their hands on available supplies of corn.
In short years like this one, a drought year, oftentimes you'll see the marketplace begin to drift lower and then suddenly it just drops. Do you think we'll have a longer time frame with these prices, or are we due to move this market lower in the not-so-distant future?
Well, we're a little concerned longer term from the point that the end users that we kind of visit with and is that they're under the gun to get coverage on now versus later. I know, you know, if you read the international news wires and talk to some of those guys, they've got coverage already out to about March. So we feel that we can have some recovery here going into early winter. But after that, the market's probably going to focus on the southern hemisphere to see what type of production prospects we have there. If they would run into some production concerns, then we could probably get a little bit more excited about the upside. But overall, it's probably going to be up one day, down the next type of trading affair here as we get through the winter.
Kurt, thanks so much.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon.
This agricultural report is made possible with support from Country Financial, now offering protection programs for the 2013 planting season, like federal crop insurance. Federal crop insurance information is available today from your local Country Financial representative or crop specialist. Country Financial is an equal opportunity provider.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. And a few times during the year, we come to you, our listeners, and say, hey, you're our partner, and we'd like you to belly up and help to support this programming. This is one of those times during the fall pledged period. And we're hoping that our agricultural listeners will open their hearts and their wallets and send in a contribution. You can do this easily. It's a 217-244-9455, or if you're listening online at willag.org, just look for that big red button up on the right-hand side of the page and push it and make a donation. We're hopeful that maybe a $120 level would be a good place to start. This is quick. It's simple. It's really easy. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You know, Dave Dickey, our Director of Agricultural Programming, and I work pretty hard to try to make sure that we stay up on what's happening in the marketplace and ask good questions of the analysts, and we have probably what I think is the best stable of analysts in the business, and we have for several decades now, about three decades, 25 years, getting closing in on three decades, and we sure hope that it's been important to you. If it has been, then help us out right now at 217-244-9455. Bob Colquhoun is here. He's the station manager. Bob, thanks for joining us today.
Well, I tell you what, this is a great program that we offer to our listeners. And when I'm out there in our area and I meet people and I have my ag hat on, they talk about you guys like you're some kind of rock stars, you know, Dave and Todd, you know, so what can I say? But, you know, it is about partnerships, and we do have a special partnership challenge right now with Stuart Peterson. You know, they know how important reliable information is to your agricultural business operation, and that's why they think the service you get from AM 580 Agriculture is important, too. So today, Stuart Peterson is challenging you to step up with your pledge of support. If we hear from 25 pledges today that mention Will Agriculture, Stuart Peterson will add another $500 to our pledge total. Thank you, Stuart Peterson, and thank you for your support. That number is 217-244-9455. Be an active listener. Get over to the phone. We have a goal of $13,000 today. We're about $3,400 away from that, fellas. we need to hear for some people right about now.
The number to call again is 217-244-9455.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgro on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Sunday of this week, Felix Baumgartner of the Red Bull Stratus team jumped some 24 miles, or about 128,000 feet, from the edge of space to the Earth. He did it with the help of an agricultural meteorologist, Don Day, out of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. I spoke to Don about the accomplishment and asked him just exactly how it felt to be there on site in Roswell, New Mexico.
Well, I tell you, it's very exciting to be here. It was a very, very difficult project, and especially getting Felix earlier this week to 128,000 feet is quite the task, especially safely. But I've been involved with this project for well over a year. We actually started with our first test flights in December of 2011, and throughout the course of the year, we've been doing test flights with unmanned capsules, and then we did two manned flights. Felix jumped from 71,000 feet in March to 97,000 feet in July, so we could work our way up to this final jump that happened on Sunday.
Hey Don, I was watching several of the Red Bull Stratus YouTube videos online, and in one of them they call you the best balloon meteorologist on the planet. I know you take that compliment humbly, but there's a whole lot of atmosphere between the Earth and 128,000 feet. How do you make that happen?
Well, there is. And, well, there aren't, I'll put it this way, there aren't many balloon meteorologists out there. So it's just a few of us really out there that have this experience. And the thing is that when you launch anything into the stratosphere, to get to those altitudes, you have to launch a balloon that's very, very big. And when you launch it, it has to be very fragile because it expands as it goes to those low pressures. That's why it looked like a big dry cleaning bag. For folks who are able to see it. So you have to have optimum, and I mean optimum conditions, to be able to launch that balloon and launch it safely, because it's just not put helium in it and you go up. When you launch balloons like this, you have to do what's called a dynamic launch, which means you have to have very light winds on the ground, very light winds up to 1,000 feet, and then, for those of you who saw the launch, we had a crane, and the crane had to move with the wind, and it had to move at the right direction of the wind, and it had to move at the right speed of the wind to be able to release Felix and the capsule without that capsule coming back down to the ground. We have a phenomenon called false lift that will send that capsule back down if the launch isn't done correctly. So I have, fortunately, about 10 years' experience in the stratospheric balloon world, and that's why I was brought in on this project, because I've been around situations like this, but never with human cargo.
Hey, you mentioned helium. Is that what they filled the balloon with? Was it simply helium? Because I was thinking about that one, too, because it gets really cold going up. And I thought, I didn't know how they kept the lift in the balloon all the way to that height.
Well, it took, to give you an example how big this balloon was, and it really didn't look like there was a lot of helium probably to the viewer when they saw it, but there was. Helium poured into that through two inflation tubes for 45 minutes. So it took 45 minutes of a helium fill. So imagine going to the party store and hooking a little tiny balloon up to a big, huge helium truck and letting it go for 45 minutes. So we're talking about a tremendous amount of helium. And that helium, through the course of going from the surface to 128,000 feet, expanded to fill that balloon to the point that balloon, when it was at 128,000 feet, was over 300 feet wide. So that helium that didn't look like much on launch expanded, that gas expanded, as it went through the lower pressures of the stratosphere to be the size of a floating football field.
One other question. How is it that Felix managed to land where he landed? not to land, but how did he navigate back to, because I think he landed in the right spot, right?
Well, you did, and that's part of my job. Part of my job not only was to get the launch off safely, but I was in charge of the trajectory, which meant I had to predict where the balloon was going to go, where the capsule was going to go, and where is the good places that Felix can jump in. Now, throughout the course of this project on these jumps, we would get with Felix, we would get with his parachute consultant, and we would look at a map. We would basically get Google Earth out, and we'd say, Felix, I think you're going to be about here when it's time to jump. And then he used topographical features, whether it was a road, a highway, a bluff, a mountaintop, or whatever, so he could have his bearings, because when he is that high, his point of reference, you can see 400 miles in every direction.
Oh.
So literally, he could, you know, he could see most of the western United States, and he had to have a point of reference to where to point himself to. And so we used topographical features, and then we had to say, hey, there's a 1,600-foot radio tower by Caprock, and over here there's a big set of transmission lines. And so we had to take all of that into account so that when he jumped, he had a situational awareness of being able to see where he was. And as he got to lower altitudes, Felix has quite a bit of an ability to direct his body and direct his trajectory as he comes down. And he was able to do that. And then we had helicopters out in advance, pre-positioned, knowing where we thought Felix was going to be. And they released some smoke so he could see what the wind conditions were like on the ground. And so we gave him a point of reference with topographical features and some smoke.
And that is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, talking about his experience with the Red Bull Stratus team.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Well, this is the Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. Have you dialed in yet with your pledge of financial support? I hope so. 217-244-9455, the number to call if you have not. On the phone line with us to take a quick look at the cash grain market is Matt Bennett of TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
In your area, everything's pretty much wrapped up. Are the bin doors locked tight now?
Yeah, I think for the most part, some of the late soybean harvest, I think, was mostly guys that were storing, you know, not a whole lot of cash grain sales here in the last 10 days or so, and I haven't seen guys really stepping up to the plate. You know, we were wondering with $15 beans maybe if guys wouldn't go ahead and do some sales, but I think the ones that stored were had their sights set a little higher than 15. So.
Yeah. Last year, you were a really strong advocate of going ahead and marketing the crop. What would you say about this year on those bushels they have not sold yet?
Well, I think the interesting thing for my guys in this area, obviously, a lot of guys have a lot better soybean yields than what they originally had planned on, and that doesn't that certainly is the case here. And so my guys that are having, you know, 40 and 50 bushel beans, they're selling a portion, you know, at $15 and then kind of hanging on because they're looking at really good incomes regardless. And so, you know, I think that I don't have any problem with a guy holding on to them at this point. Basically, with how tight we are stocks-wise, both domestically and abroad, I think that, you know, there's a good chance to be reward, especially with any hiccup in South America.
And your bids for the day?
Yeah, our cash corn bid would be 768, Jan 773, cash beans 1533, Jan 1546.
Thanks so much, Matt.
Thank you, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with TGM, back in just 2 minutes.
Supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Well, you're listening to Public Radio. This is WILL AM 580. Your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, is here now with an update of what we've been doing for the last several days. Have we been in the midst of our fall pledge drive? Hi, Dave. How are you today?
I am doing well. How about you, Todd?
We've got lots of things happening here. So we've got people to thank, probably. We've got a couple of challenges happening and tractor wars at all at the same time.
Well, the tractor wars is particularly interesting. I didn't know what we might expect to see when we first started this. Everyone calling in during the segments gives a code word, either Deere or Case. They're entered to win the John Deere 7730 or Case IH Magnum 315 model tractor. And thus far, the Deere folk have been calling in left and right. 30 of those and 7 of Case IH. So if you are a big Red fan, now would be the time to call in 217-244-9455 to get into that drawing. We don't need a pledge to get in the drawing, but we do take hope that you do take the opportunity to pledge in support of our agricultural programming when you do call in. And when you do that, mention the word agriculture, because if you do, then you will also go on the sheet from Stuart Peterson. The fine business partners have a challenge underway. When we hear from 25 people who say agriculture today, they will add $500 to our kitty. 217-244-9455 is the number to call. We like the $120 level. More is grand, less is fine. You decide how much to do, but do pick up the phone because it is really important that you do. 217-244-9455, Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express card.
The Closing Market Report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
Now you're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. Pete Levitt is here to take a look at the weather forecast with us. Thanks, Pete, for taking the time. Let's start here in the Midwest. What can we expect for the evening and the weekend?
Okay, we've got a mixed weather pattern coming through with some cold air dropping southward into the upper Midwest today and spreading southeastward underneath a very cold trough aloft, dropping southward through Minnesota, eastern Iowa, down into Illinois and out across there. That will bring colder temperatures back in again tonight and tomorrow. But then a rapid change takes place as we move into the weekend. This trough moves eastward. A strong ridge starts to build over the region from southwest to northeast on Sunday and Monday, and we get temperatures going right back up into the upper 50s on Sunday, probably the mid-60s on Monday, Tuesday, some 70s likely even on Tuesday. And depending on where the front sets up, separating this warmer air from colder temperatures farther north, where that sets up, it looks like Illinois will be on the warm side of that front. And so much of the eastern Corn Belt states will see temperatures well up in the 60s to mid-70s, maybe even a few 80s, very unseasonably warm for this time of year. As far as the weather is concerned, there will be precipitation around. There will be, certainly be some this evening and tonight as this cold air moves in aloft and manages to squeeze out what little moisture is available in this relatively dry air mass. Temperatures will hold up in the 40s and the tonight and be dropping down into the low 40s, upper 30s tomorrow night. But then we have the temperatures climbing, as we said on the earlier part of the forecast, warm in the daytime, nighttime temperatures only in the 50s. So that's the outlook for the immediate future. We have a third Thursday here, Todd, if you're interested.
Very quickly, please.
Okay, it's really a more of the same pattern. We're above normal temperatures forecast now for the month of November between the Great Basin and the Mississippi River Valley. That puts most of the eastern Corn Belt in the near normal category, warm in the west. For November, December, into January, it just shifts that area a little further west, has equal chances of warm or cold for most of the Midwest as we move into the early part of winter. So we're still looking at above normal, showing on most of the temperature precipitation, mostly below normal through the next 3 months as far as the Midwest is concerned.
Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
That's agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt joining us here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Well, as we close out this Thursday afternoon together, just want to take time, Dave Dickey, to say thank you to everyone who has called in. And
absolutely.
And thanks to all those who will be calling in.
217-244-9455. Keep the phones ringing.
All right. 217-244-9455. Thanks so much, Dave, for being in studio with us this afternoon. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.